Okay, good morning everybody. Today's daf is Erev and Daf Pei Beis. We are holding on Daf Pei Aleph and Beis. We are at the two dots at Amar Rav Yehuda Bamedvar Mamurim. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and also by Yehuda Koenig for Refuah Shleima, for Fega Bas Rachel Shishav Refuah Shleima, Besoch Shar Chole Yisrael. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to discuss today is, first we're going to finish up the seventh parak, and we're going to discuss whether we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, as far as does a person need to be, do you need a person's consent in order to make an Eruv for him, both as far as Eruv Tchumen is concerned and as far as Eruv Chatzer is concerned. It's going to lead us into a broader discussion of how we know when. If everyone could just mute themselves, please. Yeah. Okay, there we go. So it's going to lead to a broader discussion of how we know that hasn't happened in a while. Of how we know that when Rabbi Yehuda's arguing, what language does he use to argue? Bameh, Emasai. So we're going to discuss that as well. That's going to lead us into a little bit of a talk about Mesachik Bekuvia, about gambling as well. Then, Bez Hashem, we're going to begin the eighth parak of Mesachis Erevin. And the eighth parak is going to talk about making a Eruv Tchumen for an entire city, what a person needs to do in order to have the Eruv Tchumen be effective for others as well. And also, does a child have the tchum of his mother automatically, the tchum of his father? Does he have his own tchum? What age of a child? Does it make a difference what age? And the Gemara is also going to talk about making an Eruv for B'nai Beiso, for the members of your household, whether it be your wife, your children, your Avadim, your Shivcha, your Shvachos, whether you can do that without their permission or not. And then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Beis is going to talk about how much food is needed, the quantity of food that's needed for in the Eruv Tchumen, meaning we know that it's supposed to be two meals, but two Shabbos meals, two weekday meals. What's the difference between two Shabbos meals and two weekday meals? How large are these loaves of bread that people use for Seudos v'chule? So that's going to be at the end of the daf. So let's begin again at the two dots on Pei Aleph and Beis. Says Gemara, Am Rabbi Yehuda Medvar Mamurim. So Rabbi Yehuda says, when do we say that you're Ein Marvin L'Adam Ela Midaito, that you need a person's consent in order to make an Eruv for him? That's only by Eruv Tchumen. But says Rabbi Yehuda, when it comes say Ruvei Chatzeros, you could be married midaito and shalom midaito. So says Gemara, Amrav Yehuda Amr Shmuel, halacha ke Rabbi Yehuda, that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, that for a Ruvei Chatzeros, you don't need the das of the person. V'lo od, and not only that, elokom lakom shan Rabbi Yehuda be'erivin, halach kamoso, that wherever Rabbi Yehuda says a halacha in Hilchas Erevin, we always paskin like Rabbi Yehuda in Hilchas Erevin. So it's not only in our Mishnah, it's everywhere that Rabbi Yehuda talks in Hilchas Erevin. So Amr Rav Chanan Bagdasol, the Rabbi Yehuda. So Rav Chanan Bagdasa said to Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, afilu b'mavoy shenitlu korosav olechiyav, that Rav Yehuda says later on that if you have a mavoy where their koro or the lechi came down, that since the mavoy was mutter when Shabbos started, you're allowed to continue carrying it on Shabbos, even though the mavoy, the koro and the lechi are no longer there. So would you say that Allah is like Rav Yehuda on that also? You said everywhere Rav Yehuda talks in Erevin, we pass like him. So Amar Lai, be'erevin amart lefalo b'mechitzos. No, I don't mean everywhere I'm Seches Erevin, I mean in the dinim relating to be ma'arev people together. But as far as what constitutes a mechitza that then makes you eligible for an Erev Chatzeros, then makes you eligible, that we're not talking about. When Rabbi Yehuda says halacha in being kona in Erev, Shmuel says the halacha is like him. Not in what constitutes a mechitza, mavish and nitu karosav lechiav, that's dinim mechitzos. That we never said the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. So Gemara discusses, Amar le Ravacha b'nei d'Rava l'Ravashi, halacha mechal de pli. Interesting that you say the halachas like Rabbi Yehuda. That implies that there is a machlokas, whether you're allowed to make an Erev Chatzeros, Shalom Midas, a person that Rabbi Yehuda says, yes, you can, and the Chachamim say, no, just like an Erev Tchumen needs the Das of the person, the Chachamim apparently disagree and say that Erev Chatzeros also needs the Das of a person. Aye, but Vam Rabbi Shimon Levi, Kol Makom Sham Rabbi Yehuda, Emasai, Bameh, Ubameh, B'Mishnah Seinu, Eino El Farish Divrei Chachamim, that when Rabbi Yehuda uses certain key terms, like Emasai and Bameh Dvar Mamurim, that that's always just to explain the Shita of the Chachamim. He's not coming to argue on the Shita of the Chachamim. So in our Mishnah, what did Rabbi Yehuda say? Bamed dvar mamurim, that you need a person's consent, that's only by Eruvei Tchumim, but not by Eruvei Chatzeros. Isn't he just explaining the Chachamim? So how can you say that halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, implying that the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yehuda? You don't need halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. Everyone agrees. Rabbi Yehuda is just explaining the Chachamim. So before the Gemara responds to that, says the Gemara, wait, velo pligi, do you think that Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim do not argue whether you need the das of a person to make an Erev Chatzeros? We know that they argue, because v'anan t'nan, we learned in the Mishnah and Daf Peyam Beis that if someone makes a, after he sets up the Sheet of Mavuos or the Erev Chatzeros, nitos v'alein, more people move into the community. So Mosif u'mezakeh, you add more food to the Erev or to the Sheetuf, and you're mezakeh for those people. V'tzarech lodia, and you need to let them know about it in order to know if they want to participate in this Sheetuf. So you see, the Mishnah says explicitly that you need the das of the person. So obviously the Chum argue on Rabbi Yehuda, meaning in that Mishnah you have Beferish, that they argue on Rabbi Yehuda, that they say when it comes to Eruvei Chatzeros, you need the das. Rabbi Yehuda's whole Sheet in our Mishnah is by Eruvei Chatzeros, you can do even without the das of a person. You have Beferish in the Mishnah, the Chum disagree. So says Marno, Hasa Mechatzer Shebein Shnei Mavuos. In that case, you only need the das of a person, because we're talking about an unusual case. We're talking about a Chatzer that's in between, that's open to two separate Mavuos, where you don't know which Mavoi the person wants to be mishtatef with. In that case, even Rabbi Yehuda would say you need the das of a person, because it could go either way. But a chatzer that's only open into one mavoi, the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda might agree that you could make the person participate without their das. You can include the person rather without their das, without getting their approval of it. So the Gemara says, how can you say that the Mishnah is talking about a chatzer shebein shnei mavuos? Vam Rav Shizu Yom Rav Chista Zos Ameres Chalukin Lav Chaver Val Rabbi Yehuda, that Rav Shizvi said in the name of Rav Chista, that we learn from that din in the Mishnah the fact that you have to let the new people know, the new residents know, and get their approval in order to include them in the Eruv. You see clearly that Rabbi Yehuda's, that there is a bar plukta on Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda says that Eruv Chatzeros could even be done Shalomi Daito. So you see very clearly, at least from the way Rav Shizvi, Amar Rav Chista, commented on that Mishnah, that he understood the Mishnah is not talking about some unique case where the Chatzer is open to two Mavos. It's talking about a regular case. You want to make a Shtuf Mavos, you want to make an Erev Chatzeros, and you need the das of the person. So you see that it's a machloka samoraim, how Rabbi Yehuda held that according to Rabbi Shimon Levi, Rabbi Yehuda is being mefarish the Tanakama, and according to Rav Chista, Rabbi Yehuda is actually arguing on the Tanakama. So says the Gemara, Ella Gavra Karam is, so what are you asking, Astira, how one Amora understands Rabbi Yehuda and another Amora understands Rabbi Yehuda, how Rabbi Shimon Levi understands him and how Shmuel understands him? Good, Mar Savar Pligi, Mar Savar Lo Pligi. Shmuel holds that to Machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, and that's why he says Halacha K'Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Shimon Levi says that there's no Machlokes, and Rabbi Yehuda is only coming to be Mefarish Divrei Chachamim. Meaning, the idea that whenever Rabbi Yehuda says Bameh, it's always only coming to be mefarish, not everyone agrees to that. That's not something that's always true. That was Rabbi Shoban Levi's comment. Rabbi Shoban Levi says, whenever Rabbi Yehuda says Emosai Abrameh, it's Eidwell Farish Devechamim. But it could be that not everyone agrees to that. That's what the Gemara is suggesting, that it's Machlokas Hamarayim, whether Rabbi Yehuda is always coming to be Mefarish Devechamim, even when he utilizes such terminology. Okay, Gufa. Now let's go back to what Rabbi Shoban Levi said, that Am Rabbi Shoban Levi Kalmakam Sham Rabbi Yehuda Emosai Bameh b'Mishnah Seinu Einu El Farish Devechem. Whenever Rabbi Yehuda says Emosai Bameh, it's never arguing. It's always coming to be Mefarish the earlier Shita. But Rabbi Yochanan Amar Emosai Lefarish Ubameh Lachlok. That Emosai is a lashon that he uses to be Mefarish Devechachamim. But the word Bameh is used to argue on the Chamim. Tosos points out in Maseches Sukkah that even when Rabbi Yochanan says that Bameh is Lefarish, he does not mean to say that it's Bameh rather other is lachlok, he does not mean to say that it's always lachlok. He means that it's sometimes lachlok. That when Rabbi Yehuda says b'medvar mamurim, there are sometimes that it means that he's going to be arguing on the Tanakhama, but certainly there are other times where b'med is also the tharish. His chiddush is that it could even be lachlok, but he also agrees that it could sometimes be lefarish as well. So the Gemara asks, according to either of these shittos, from the following, the Mishnah Masechah Sanhedrin, Eimasai lefarishu, are you so sure that whenever the word Eimasai is used by Rabbi Yehuda following a shita of the Chachamim, he's only coming to be mefarish the Chachamim? He's not arguing. Both shittos said that. Both Rabbi Shua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan agreed that Eimasai is always lefarish. Is that really true? Vatanan, there's a Mishnah in the third parak of Sanhedrin, Ve'elu en apsulim, the following people are pasul le'edus. The halacha is that a ganav is pasul le'edus, that a rasha is pasul le'edus, and the Gemara darshins from Altashis Yarchim Rasha Lios Eid Chamas, that a rasha is not allowed to be an aid, and Chamas is gazlan, so gazlan is not allowed to be an aid. But then there are certain things that are gezel midrabanan. So the following things are pasul le'edus, a mesachik b'kuvya, a person who gambles, a malva beribis, and a person who lends money with interest. So he's not actually stealing. The person agreed to the deal. He agreed that he would pay the interest, but it's taking someone else's money when they're not really happy to be giving the money. Umafri chayonim, someone who races pigeons. Different shittos what exactly that means, but let's assume it's a form of gambling. Visokre shvius, and someone who does business with peros shvius, with shemitah produce. So I'm Rabbi Yehuda Eimasai. So the Rabbi Yehuda says Eimasai. When do you say that the mesachik b'kuvya and the mafri chayonim, that the gamblers are pasul eidos bisman chein lo umnus elahi? That's only if that's their only profession. They don't make money any other way. Aval yesh lo umnus shalohi. But if they make money other ways, then I raise a kasha. Then it's kasha le eidos, because he's not going to become pasul based on the money that he's taking, because he's allowed to take the money, because we're assuming that a smachta kanya, that it is a valid kinyan, even though the other person is only entered into the agreement thinking that there's a possibility that he's ever going to have to give up the money. V'tani ala b'braisa, and the braisa taught about this comment, about this discussion in the Mishnah, that v'chamam bein shein lo umnus elihi, bein sheyesh lo umnus shalohi areiz apostle, that v'cham explicitly disagree with Rabbi Yehuda. They say it doesn't matter whether he has another umnus or not. Asmachtas lo kanya, and therefore it's stealing. That when a person is gambling, he's committing gezel mi divrayim, he's committing gezel on the Rabbanan level, and therefore he's going to be Pasul Eidos. So don't tell me that when Rabbi Yehuda says Eimasai, it's Lefarish, we have Beferish in the Braisa, that in the context of Mesachik Bekuvya, Rabbi Yehuda uses the word Eimasai, and the Braisa understands that he's Lachlok, that he's arguing on the Rabbanan. So that's the Gemara, Hayid Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rabbi Tarfon Hi. No, that Eimasai was not Rabbi Yehuda expressing his own opinion. That was Rabbi Yehuda expressing the Shita of Rabbi Tarfon. So when he's talking in the name of his Rebbe, when he's talking in the name of Rabbi Tarfon, then an Eimasai could be lachlok, but generally when he's talking in his own voice, then Eimasai is lefarish. Titanya, how do I know that it involves Rabbi Tarfon? Because the Braisa always elaborates, and the Braisa tells us, Am Rabbi Yehuda Mishum Rabbi Tarfon liolam ein echad mehem nazir l'fishem nazir salaflaa. Wait, how did we get to nazir? We were talking about gambling. We're trying to show that when Rabbi Yehuda talks about a mesachik b'kuvya, that a smachta lo kanya, and that if a person that a smachta kanya, rather, and that if a person gambles a little bit, he's not pasul eidos. It's only if it's his only profession, he is pasul eidos. That's Rabbi Tarfon. How do we see that that's Rabbi Tarfon? Because when it comes to Nazirus, the case of the Braisa is, they have two people that are sitting around, and they're arguing whether a fellow that's walking down the street is a Nazir or not. They see that he's somewhat unkempt, his hair is long, and they're not sure, Hasir or hipster, right? They're not sure, is he a Nazir, is he not a Nazir? So what is he exactly? So one of them says, Hareini Nazir, if that guy is a Nazir. I'm so sure that it's not true. And the other one says, Hareini Nazir, if that guy is not a Nazir. And they both say, Misafik, they don't know whether he's a Nazir or not. So that's where Rabbi Yehuda says, the name of Rabbi Tarfon, Liolam ain Echad Mehen Nazir. Neither of them are Nazirim. Lufishe Nazir Salafla. Nazirus has to be with a sense of clarity, with an absolute commitment. But if you're only Mekabal the Nazirus, Misafik, the Nazirus is not going to be Chal. Ooh, so Alma, Kivin the Misafkale, in Nazir, lo Nazir, who, lo Meshabinav, that a person doesn't make a full commitment if he's unsure that he needs to make the full commitment. So the same is true by a gambler. Since a person doesn't know if he's going to win or he's going to lose at the game, so he's not going to have a full commitment to be mechayev himself to give the money. So when Rabbi Yehuda said the lashon of emesai, he's not arguing on the chachamim. The shita of the chachamim in the brisa is that a smachta is not kona. That's not the chachamim of the mishnah. That's the shita of Rabbi Tarfon that holds that a smachta is not kona. So it's a different shita of the chachamim. So that's the inyan of a smachta. Tosim Sech Sanhedrin raises a question in the name of the Rivan. How can you learn that even a smachta that's tola bedavar, that when you make a deal that relies on a smachta, something that's not up to you, that you're not really having full gemiras das to be kona from the parsha of Nazir, from where Rabbi Tarfon says ein echad mehem Nazir, by Nazirus it says kiyafli means you need hafla sounds like it means that you need a more absolute commitment. How does that tell you everywhere else that you need a sense of hafla? How do we know that it automatically translates over to Mesachik Bukovia as well? So Tosfos says a couple of terutzim. One of the terutzim is that in the pasuk says you need a Nazirus mefureshes, but it doesn't say what's considered a clear Nazirus. That's Tali and Svara. So if Rabbi Tarfon held that a smachta where you're tola on something that's not up to you is not considered a smachta, it's considered a full eschaivus, so a Nazirus which you're tola on something that's enu biyado, since you're gomer bedas to be mechayiv, we should have considered that like a Nazirus mevoreres. That should not have been something that was up for interpretation. So from the fact that Rabbi Tarfon said that it doesn't work, so we see that when you're tola bedavish enu biyado, that is an asmachta, and therefore the hischaivus is not going to be chal. Now there is a major discussion I had a paskin over here. We have this machlokas when it comes to gambling. If you have another profession, does a pasul yule edus if you gamble occasionally? So it's a discussion. In halacha, the Rambam seems to have a stira as far as this is concerned. The Rambam in Hilchos Eidos Paskins, v'chein mesachik b'kuvya v'hu shelo tia lo umnus elohu hol ve'eno osik b'yeshuva shalolam. That if you have no other profession, since you're eno osik b'yeshuva shalolam, that's what makes you pasul Eidos. Sounds like he paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, that it's only if it's your only profession. However, in Hilchos Gezeila Perek Vav, the Rambam writes, ha'mesachkin b'kuvya harei ze gezel midivrayim. If it's gezel midivrayim, it shall pasul you even if you only do it occasionally. You're never allowed to steal. So that shall pasul you ladies even if you only do it occasionally. So it sounds like he's passing like the chachamim. So then he should have paskined that even if you do it occasionally, you're going to be pasul. So how would miyashiv the shita sarambam? So several approaches in the Rishonim and Achronim. The Ran and the Radvaz explain that even though the Rambam holds Mesach Rukuvi is considered gezel midrabanan, but he's not pasul edos unless it's his only profession, because most people don't view it as an avera, meaning not everything that a person does that is an avera and that's wrong, and that's also, again, if you can mute yourself, whoever's on mute, not everything that's an avera and that's wrong is necessarily something that's going to pass through the edus. Pass through the edus has to be something that everyone realizes is wrong. If not everyone thinks it's wrong, if not everyone thinks that they're doing anything wrong, it's not. So it is gezel midivrayim, but it's not the kind of gezel midivrayim that will pass through the edus because he doesn't think it's gezel midivrayim. That's how the Ran understands. Because Mishnah understands that according to the Rambam, the halacha is like the Chachamim, that Mesachik B'kuvya is, even if you have, is Pasul Zuleidus, even if you have another job. When the Rambam says you have an Umnus Acheres, your Kashal Eidus, that's if you're Mesachik with Goyim. That's talking about where you don't gamble with other Jews, where you only gamble with Goyim. And that's the whole chilik between the two Rambams. It's quite a chiddush. The Tumim suggests, based on the Sma, that the Rambam really passes like Rav Sheshes, that it's not real Gezel, and therefore you're not pasul edus if you do it just once in a while, but nevertheless it's avak gezel midrabanan, because there's no real gemiras das on the other side, and since it's only gezel midrabanan, they only pasul le'edus of mishum rasha duchamos if you do it all the time. You only do it because you have chimud mamon. So that's what the Rama passes, that nisud rabanan is nifsal if he violates nisud rabanan because of chimud mamon, because he's always interested in making more more money, and that's why he's willing to compromise his principles for the sake of money. So anyway, so those are the three ways of understanding the Shitas HaRambam when it comes to gambling. Okay, so now let's begin Be'ez Hashem the next parak, the eighth parak of Maseches Eruvin. So we're going to continue discussing inyanim relating to Eruvei Chatzeros, relating to Eruvei Tchumen, and we're going to talk about making an Eruv for a broader population, not just for yourself. So, Ketzan Mishtatfin B'Tchumen, how do you make a Shituf with Tchumen? Meaning, you want to make an Eruv Tchumen, but not just for yourself personally, but for the Rabbim. So, Maniach HaSachavis, you take a barrel full of food, and you put it 2,000 amos away from the city, Va'omer Hareza L'Kol B'Nayiri. And you say, this isn't just for me, this is for everybody in my city. L'Kol Mishayelech L'Beis HaAvel, L'Beis HaMishta, or you give examples, meaning, there's a reason why they all need it. Everyone needs to go to a certain Beis Avel to be Menachem the person. Everyone needs to go to a certain Beis Mishta, so you set it up to be able to go. Wait a second, Beis Avel to be Menachem the person? We're talking about Shabbos over here. So as far as Nichum Avelim on Shabbos, there's a Machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel and Shabbos Taf Yud Beis, where Beis Shammai says it's Aser because then the Menachem himself is going to be Boli Dei Tsar on Shabbos. Where, so you're going to bring yourself to Tsar. The Avel Memel is B'Tsar, but the person is going to be Menachem, so it's going to upset him on Shabbos, whereas Beis Hillel says it's mutter. So the Gemara says over there that even according to Beis Hillel, bekoshi hitiru, to be Menachem Avel b'Shabbos. So our practice is that we typically don't do it, but it's not that it's really us, it's bekoshi hitiru, to be Menachem Avel on Shabbos. So it's not so out of the ordinary that the Mishnah would say that that's what a person is going to do, that he's going to be Menachem Avel or he's going to a Beis HaMishteh. Now both of these examples are a Dvar Mitzvah, and that's a point that is not going to be lost on the Gemara. The Gemara's first comment is going to be, apparently you're only allowed to make an Erev Tchumen for a Dvar Mitzvah. You don't just stop make an Erev Tchumen for no reason. So a person is making an Erev Tchumen for the broader community. The Kol Shekibel Lav Miba Od Yom Mutter, and anyone in that city who decided that they want to be Somich on that Erev before Shabbos started, they're now allowed to utilize that Erev. But Misha Techshach Aser Shein Marv Misha Techshach. But if they didn't decide that they want to rely on that Erev until after Shabbos started, then it's too late. Already when Shabbos started, they have to have been in on that Erev Tchumen, in order for the Erev Tchumen to work. So now, says the Gemara, Amrav Yosef, Ein Ma'arvin, Ela L'Dvar Mitzvah. The only thing you're allowed to make an Erev for is for the sake of a Dvar Mitzvah, meaning an Erev Tchumen. That if you want to make an Erev Tchumen, it has to be that the place that you're planning on going is a Dvar Mitzvah. And there's a machlokas rishonim. What if you were ma'ariv l'dvar mitzvah? You had a reason. You wanted to go to the Beis Avel Beis Mishnah, but now you would like to take a walk. Now the Beis Avel Beis Mishnah is later in the day. Now you have some extra time. You still would like to take a walk. You'd like to go and utilize that Erev Tchumen. Are you allowed to utilize the Erev Tchumen not for a Dvar Mitzvah, when it's not a Dvar Mitzvah? Dvar Mitzvah is the motivation of making it. So the sounds from Rashi that even if you were Ma'ariv L'Dvar Mitzvah, you're not allowed to go to Dvar Rishus. The smack and the tour, however, right, that once you're Ma'ariv L'Dvar Mitzvah, you're even allowed to use it L'Dvar Rishus. You don't have to use it for a Dvar Mitzvah. The Rambam is makel even more than the smak. He says even if you're ma'ariv l'dvar reshus, you're not allowed to do it. But b'diavad eruv ve'eruv, right? Kol misla da amrachman lo saved yavad lo mahani. Yeah, but over here, even though the rabbanon say lo saved that you're not supposed to make an eruv tchumen l'dvar reshus, it would still work. So three shitos in Rishonim. Why is it that you're not allowed to be ma'ariv for any other reason other than a Dvar Mitzvah? So the Rabbeinu Yehonasan explains that Meikar Adin, a person only gets 2,000 amos from where he is when Shabbos starts. But the Chum or Meikil with Takanas Erev, that a person can get 2,000 amos from where he puts his bread. The Chum didn't want to institute a Kula unnecessarily. So it had to be something pushing that Kula. So a Dvar Mitzvah is something that pushes you to institute such a Kula. So says the Rabbeinu Yehonasan, based on that's only true that you need that an Erev only works with Dvar Mitzvah when you're Ma'ariv Bepas. But if a person is Ma'ariv Beraglav, you're not relying on any special Kulas. When you're married, Baraglav, that's the Ikar Adin, 2,000 amos from where you are. And therefore, such an Eruv, by showing up, by being at a place before Shabbos, such an Eruv would work even Shalol Lidvar Mitzvah. That is where Rabbeinu Yonason writes. Tosos in Maseches Pesachim says, no, there's no Chilik. Even if you're Ma'ariv Beregel, you're not supposed to do it Lidvar Shus. It can only be Lidvar Mitzvah. There is a further discussion in the Poskim, what exactly constitutes a Dvar Mitzvah. In different contexts in Halacha, we find that the definition of Dvar Mitzvah is a little bit different from each other. Not every time that we use the term Dvar Mitzvah is it what we always think of as a Dvar Mitzvah. To go stam, a walk, to go see somebody, is that considered a Dvar Mitzvah? The Gemara in Shabbos says that you're not allowed to be maflik besfina within 3 days before Shabbos. And the Brisa says, the Dvar Mitzvah, you're allowed to be maflik besfina. So the Mordechai, Masechah Shabbos, and other Rishonim quoted Rabbeinu Tam, that even if you're going for business, or liros es chavero, or you want to go see a friend, that's also called a Dvar Mitzvah. It's only stam if you're spatzering. That's a Dvar Rishos. But to even see a friend is considered a Dvar Mitzvah. The Rivash disagrees with Rabbeinu Tam. He says, rias chavero, or going for business, that's not a mitzvah. So the Beis Yosef writes that not all the poskim agree to Rabbeinu Tam, and the Rama says Yesh Omrim, that if a person goes to Schar, Liros Pnei Chavero, he quotes Rabbeinu Tam as Yesh Omrim, and that it's not called the Dvar Rishus unless you're just Stam going Litayel, but you're going to see a friend, that's called the Dvar Mitzvah. And the Rama writes, therefore, the minig is to be Mekil about going out on boats and going on a Shayara within 3 days, because almost everything that a person would actually take a trip for constitutes a Dvar Mitzvah in that context. So the Mishnah Berurah says that b'makom shalona to be make like the Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, probably you shouldn't. So that's as far as being maflug b'sfina. As far as hotza'a on yantif, carrying on yantif, the Rush writes in Maseches Beitza, in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, that hotza'as katan, in order to that his father should be able to be metayel on yantif for someone who's not able to be to leave the katan alone in the house, is considered hotza'a l'tzoruch mitzvah. As far as a ruve tchumin, the Rambam writes, Hakpolas Pnei Chavero is considered a Dvar Mitzvah. The Rambam writes in the 6th parak of Hilchos Erevin. So the Mefarshim are not sure what he means by that. Beis Yosef says, no, he doesn't mean stam, you want to go say hello to your friend. No, Pnei Chavero means Chavero Chacham. You have a friend who's a Chacham and is going to say a shir to you, and he's going to talk and learning with you. So that's a Dvar Mitzvah. But otherwise it would not be a Dvar Mitzvah. Whereas others disagree. The Chumash Hadeshin writes that it's mashma that even if he's Eino Chacham, it's considered a Dvar Mitzvah. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes both Deos. The Rama quotes the Chumash Hadeshin, but he just adds that the Chumash Hadeshin is somebody Ruvi Tchumen on Yom Tov Litzoruch Tiyul. So that's where he says that there's a mitzvah bedavar. L'tayel bi Yom Tov of B'Shabbos B'Pardes, where there's a Simcha, that's called a Dvar Mitzvah. So that it even allows on Shabbos as well. So anyway, so the definition of Dvar Mitzvah is not necessarily what you would have automatically thought. It could be a broader definition than what we would typically refer to as a Dvar Mitzvah. So says Mar Maika Mashmalan, what's the Chiddush that Rav Yosef is telling me, that you can only do an Erev Tchumen for Dvar Mitzvah? Of course. Tanina, it's said in the Mishnah, why are you making the Erev Tchumen? L'kol Mishayelich L'Beis HaEvel, L'Beis HaMishnah. These are obvious examples of Mitzvah. Why would we give these examples if not for the fact that it can only be done for a Dvar Mitzvah? No, I might have thought that those are just examples. Those are the typical examples of why a person would want to go somewhere. So Kamash Milan, those aren't just examples. Those are precise examples that we're giving those examples because it has to be a Dvar Mitzvah related item. Then we said that anyone who's Mekabel to be included in that Erev Tchumen before Shabbos started, that Erev will work for him. But the implication is clearly that it does not work unless he's Gomer Bedas, that he wants to be Somech on that Eruv Miba Odyom. But if he hears about the Eruv Miba Odyom, but he hasn't yet decided till after Shabbos started, it sounds like the Eruv's not going to work. Shamit Mina Ein Breira. Apparently, we do not rely on Breira. Breira is obviously a big sugi in Shas. This is not the first time in Eruvin that we've had Breira. Right? In Bachacham Lemizrach, Bachacham Lemarev, you put out two separate Eruvin. So what's Breira over here? That you want retroactively that it's going to, when you decide after Shabbos started, that you want to go there. So you wanted to retroactively be chal when Shabbos began, that's your makom shvisa during Ben HaShemashos, that's your makom shvisa when Shabbos begins. So apparently we're you're not willing to rely on that. Then we should, if we held yesh breira, then it should work retroactively. Then mibod yomi was happy to have that be his makam shvisa. So I'm Ravashi, hodiu velo hodiu katani. No, no. When it says kibul love mibod yom, it doesn't mean that if he knew about the eruv but was not mekabel it yet and only decided later that that's no good. No, no. What's no good is if he didn't even know about the eruv until Friday. He's in the middle of his Friday night suda, and someone says, "Oh, you going to the Beis Mishta tomorrow?" He says, "How could I go to the Beis Mishta? It's outside of the tchum." No, no. Don't you know that our neighbor set up an eruv tchum? I never heard about it. That's where he's not allowed to rely on it. But if he knew about it, he just was undecided whether he wanted to utilize it. That you could definitely rely on Breira. So don't bring a raya from here that ain't Breira. Good, now we move on to the discussion of a katan. Amar Rav Asi, katan ben sheish, yotze be'eruvimo, a six-year-old katan. If his mother made an eruv for herself, even though she was not, she did not include him intentionally in the eruv, but her tchum Shabbos is his tchum Shabbos, meaning he's like an extension of her, a 6-year-old child. So Meisve, so they ask her, Ravasi, the Braisa tells us that katan she tzarich li'imo yotze be'eruvimo v'shein tzarich li'imo ein yotze be'eruvimo, that that's not true, that a 6-year-old katan is not automatically together with the mother. Only a katan who still needs his mother is automatically together with the mother. And apparently a 6-year-old no longer still needs his mother. Everyone still needs their mother. What does it mean no longer still needs their mother? So we're going to see clearly it means in a particular context. Utsinan nami gabi sukkah. We have a parallel discussion when it comes to the chiv of sukkah. Ki agavna. The katan shein tzarich li'imo chayiv b'sukkah. That at what age are you mechanech a katan in sukkah? Does a katan have to be in the sukkah when he's no longer tzarich li'imo? So midrabanan midin chinuch, he has to be in the sukkah. But a katan that's tzarich li'imo, we assume is not yet at the age of chinuch. Right? There is we often use the term the age of chinuch. The age of chinuch for each mitzvah, the Gemara in sukkah, the Gemara in arachim, tells us is different. The Gemara tells us that the age of chinuch for tzitzis is yodeh lis atif. The age of chinuch for tefillin is katan yodea lishmar tefillah. He knows how to guard his tefillin and take proper care of them. Each of the katan for lulav is yodea l'naneabo. He knows how to do the nanuim. That's the ha'ara the Briska Rav makes, that l'chora, the Gemara should have said that when is a katan chayiv in lulav? Mida'ag be'nefak pe, as long as he can lift it. Once you lift it, you're ready out to the mitzvah. When is a katan chayiv in tefillin? When you can put it on. But we're not saying any of that. We're saying the lulav when he knows how to do all the nanuim. Tefillin when he knows how to be shomer tefillah. So the Briska Rav just makes that ha'ara that you see that the age of chinuch is not only when a katan is able to perform the minimal standard of the mitzvah. No, the age of chinuch is when a katan is able to do the mitzvah bishlei musa. He's able to do the mitzvah min amuvchar. He's able to do the mitzvah with all the bells and whistles in the nicest possible way. That's the age of chinuch. So tefillin is lishmer tefillah, lulav l'nanea, talis l'sadev. So when it comes to sukkah, of course you could put a katan in the sukkah, he could do the mitzvah, but he's going to be miserable. He's going to be screaming for his mother the whole time. So when he's able to do it properly, when he's able to live normally in the sukkah, that's when you put him in the sukkah. So katan shein tzarich li'imo is chayiv b'sukkah. So by the way, by tefillin, it's such an interesting thing that by tefillin, really the age of chinuch for a katan by tefillin, it's like when you have a young kihila where there are a lot of bar mitzvahs. So it's one of the top shaylas again. Our minhag is 30 days before the bar mitzvah, but 31 days before is a Sunday, and it'll be a more convenient time to do anachas tefillin. Like, can we do it then? You can do whatever you want. But the meyikar adin, the chiv chinuch is really way earlier. Meyikar adin, right? It's yodeh lishmar tefillah. But am I right? The minhag is only when he becomes bar mitzvah that we don't put it on tefillin earlier, which is the Shulchan Aruch writes about. So which is strange because it's against the Gemara, right? And the minhag is not like the Shulchan Aruch and not like the Gemara. The Gemara says way earlier. The Shulchan Aruch says only when he becomes bar mitzvah. And people do whatever. 30 days before, 3 months before, whatever. When they're going to be in Eretz Yisrael, or right, whatever. Whenever it's going to. So that's what Rav Shechta told us, that he put on tefillin like 2 years before his bar mitzvah or something. That his father thought. He was mature enough to be shomer tefillah. And I thought that was unusual. Never heard of that before. But va'avinu bavezu katan shein tzarich limo. What is a katan shein tzarich limo? Sarmi dvei Rabbi Yana kol shenifta ve'enimu mekanachto. When he goes to the bathroom, he doesn't need his mother to clean him up. Rabbi Shimon melag shomer kol shenayim mishnasa ve'enu kori ima. Whenever he wakes up in the middle of the night, he doesn't call out for his mother. Say ima sal kadaitach gedolim nami karu. What do you mean? Sometimes a person is much older than 4, 5, 6 years old, and they still wake up in the middle of the night and they call out mommy. No, it means that he may automatically wake up from his sleep and scream out mommy, and then he's gonna like catch himself. He's not gonna do it again. So that's the age. He's not gonna say ima ima. So the kama, how old is that? So kvar arba, kvar chamesh. That it's a 4 or 5 year old. 4 or 5, because there's obviously no exact age. Every child matures at a different pace. But 4 or 5, roughly. So you see that at the most, it's 5 years old that he's Eino Tzarich Li'imo, and he's not going to be Yotzei Be'eruv Imo. So how can we say, the Kashan Ravasi, who said that a Katam's Ben Sheish is Yotzei Be'eruv Imo, that a 6 year old is Yotzei Be'eruv Imo. So Amar Rabbi Shor B'Rei D'Ravidi, Ki Ka'am Ravasi, when Ravasi said a Ben Sheish, Kon Shir V'Lov Aviv L'Tzafa, the imaladaram. That's talking about where his father made a competing era for him. Even a 6-year-old, if he has to make a choice, he's going to choose his mother. So that he's not begeder tsarich li'imo anymore. That he's automatically associated with his mother. But if given the choice of father or mother, he'd rather be close to his mother. She's going to take care of him better. So the Chum say that the eruv that his mother was kona for him is going to be the one that works, and not the eruv that his father was kona for him. So maybe we say a katan that tzarich limo is included in his mother's eruv, and we say that goes until 6 years old. So says Mar Tiyufta Rabbi Shua Bar Ravidi Tiyufta. That's a stira to Rabbi Shua Bar Ravidi, because he said mi ben chamesh he's already not yotzei with eruv imo, and you need to have a separate eruv for him. Whereas over here in the Brisa it says explicitly that still mi ben sheish he's yotzei. Should we say that the Bryce is also steered to Ravasi? Because Ravasi said that a katan ben sheish is yotzei be'erivimo, and the Bryce says only ad ben sheish is yotzei be'erivimo. So, meaning clearly 5 is different than 6, but is 6 different than 6? Meaning is ad ben sheish different than ben sheish? So maybe that's also stira. So Amalek Ravasi ad viad bechlal. No, ad ben sheish doesn't mean up until and not including. It means up until and including. So ad ben sheish means the same thing as ben sheish, and therefore the price is not a stira to Ravasi. So leimetavi tiyufta to Rabbi Yana Reish Lakish, but maybe this is a tiyufta to Rabbi Yana Reish Lakish, who said that eino tzarich li'imo is when he goes to the bathroom and his mother doesn't clean him up, or when he doesn't cry out ima ima in the middle of the night. That seems to fit a lot better with a 4-year-old than it does with a 6-year-old. And the Brisa says, ah, ben sheish, he's considered tzarich li'imo. So says Marlo Kasha, meaning the definition of tzarich li'imo. With tzarich li'imo, like we said, could mean a million different things. You need your mother, when we get new carpet in my house, I still tzarich li'imo. She knows how to pick carpet, and no one in my house knows that. So we're still tzarich li'imo. So it means all sorts of different things, tzarich li'imo. So the definition of tzarich li'imo that we gave, of crying out ima ima in the middle of the night, or of ima mekanachto, that really fits a 4 or 5 year old a lot better than it does a 6 year old. So lo kasha, had yisei avu b'masa, had delo yisei avu b'masa. When Rabbi Yari Reish Lakish gave their shir, they're talking about that the father is there as well. So then already at 4 or 5 years old, he's not going to be so connected to the mother because he has the father to follow. Whereas the Brisa, it says ad ben sheish is when the father's not in the city, so then he's going to be relying very much on his mother. So that answers the first kasha that we asked on Ravasi as well, that when we said that a ben arba ben chamesh is considered eino tzarich li'imo, that's when his father's in the city. Ravasi, who said that a ben sheish is yotzei be'erev imo, is talking about when his father's not in the city. Okay, so now we're going to discuss making an eruv for the other bnei abayis without their permission. So tana rabban mari v'adam al yedei b'no b'ito haketan al yedei avdo v'shuchas ha'knanim b'ein l'day t'men shlo l'day. Young children, an Eved Kanani, Shivcha Kananis, you don't need their approval to make to include them in the Erev Tchumen. Avaleinu Ma'ariv, lo al yidei Avdov Shuchas Ve'ivrim, lo al yidei B'no Bito HaGedolim, lo al yidei Yishto Elamidaitam. But if it's someone who is someone independent, it's an adult child, it's a Jewish servant, it's your wife, so they get a vote, they get to decide if they want to be included in that Erev. So Tani Yidach, lo yarev Adam al yidei B'no Bito HaGedolim, lo al yidei Avdov Shuchas Ve'ivrim, ve'lo al yidei Yishto Ella midaitan. Avul ma'arivu al yidei avdu v'shuchas ha'knanim v'al yidei b'no abito ha'knanim bein l'daitan bein shalol l'daitan. That you could do that even bal karchum, even if you don't have their das. So the reason you could be ma'arif for avdu v'shuchas ha'knanim is mipnei shi'adan ki'ado, because you own the eved, and therefore you get to decide where their shvisa is going to be. The Karen Ora points out that the adam could decide, you know, where the eved is going to live. So his shvisa is completely up to the adam. V'kulan she'iruvu v'irva le'en rabad, and if they made their own eruv and their master made another eruv to in another direction, yotzin b'shal rabban, their master's eruv is one that counts chutz min isha, except for the isha, where if she makes an eruv and the husband makes another eruv, it's her own eruv that counts. Because she could object, she could say, "I'm not interested in my husband's eruv. I'm interested in my eruv." See, isha maishna. Wait, why would an isha be different than an adult child and then an eved ivri? They also get their own vote. So why should the isha be excluded from that category and be the only one that gets to override the husband's eruv? So I'm Rabbi Isha called the dummy. No. When we say that an isha, we mean an isha and all of the people that are in her category, all of the independent people, adult children, Eved Ivri, Shivcha, Amma Ivriya. Well, Amma Ivriya wouldn't count, but Eved Ivri, Amma Ivriya is only a little girl. So Amar Mar. So we said in the Brisa that Chutz Min Isha Mnei Sheichal Limchus, except for an isha, because she could be make a macha. Taima Demachi Hastama Nafka Bidbaila. Oh, wait a second though. It sounds like it's only if she actively objects. But Minastam, we assume even without her explicit approval, it does work. But then Hakatani Reisha Elamidaitam. But the Reisha said that you need her approval. My love, Damrian, don't you need active approval? And that Stam is not going to work? So it's a steer on what the halacha would be when it's Stam. So lo, my elamidaitam dishtiku lafukeicha damri lo. Now, midaitam means that they didn't say no. So havakul and shir vavirva lein rabban yotzim b'shal rabban ustamahu v'katani chutz mini isha delo nafki. It sounds like it's Stam, and it says chutz mini isha where anyone in the woman's category, where they make the eruv in their own direction, even though it was Stam, they didn't make a macha'a, they didn't object, still they override their husband's eruv. So Amarava, Kivin Shiruv, Ein Lecha Micha Gadol Mizah. What do you mean they didn't object? They made their own eruv. So if they made their own eruv in the other direction, that is an objection to the husband's eruv. And that's why, so Minas Stam, they're together with the husband. It's only if they object that they're not together with the husband's eruv. Kamu Shiruv, says the Mishnah, how much food goes in an eruv? So Mazon Shtei Sudas Kal Echad Ve'Echad, two meals worth for each person who's participating. Mizona L'Chol V'Lo L'Shabbos Divrei Meir. Meir says weekday meals, not Shabbos Tikkun meals. Rabbi Yehuda Omer L'Shabbos Lo L'Chol. Shabbos Tikkun meals, not weekday meals. Zev Zev Miskaven L'Hakel. They're both trying to say a lesser amount. It's just that Meir holds that on a weekday you eat less because Shabbos meals, you have more food, you have more things that meals, meaning how much bread you would have in a meal. So in a Shabbos meal, since there are more things that make your mouth water, you'll have more bread together with all that other food. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, no. On Shabbos, you got to have three meals. So you're not going to eat as much on Shabbos lunch because you know that you have to have an extra meal later in the day. That's the halacha in Shulchan Aruch. That chachamim of Barosha, a person's not supposed to overeat Shabbos lunch because they always have to remember that there's a later meal. Rabbi Yochanan Broka Omer, Kikar Pundion Marbisin Vesela. It's the amount, two sudos is the a loaf that you could buy with a pundion when forced in goes for a sela. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shtei Yodos Lekikar Misholosh Lekav. Two-thirds of a kikar, when the size of a kikar is such that three kikaros of that size would make up a kav, meaning suda achas is one ninth of a kav. So chetzi lebayis hamnuga, and half of that shear is the amount of time you would have to be standing in a house that has taras in order for your clothing that you're wearing to become tame. What do you mean? Shear is the amount of bread. What do you mean half of that shear? Half of the amount of time that it would take to eat that amount of bread would be the amount of time that standing in a house would make your a house that has taras would make your clothing tame. Tame v'chatzi chatzia, and half of that is livsol segvia, would be included in the gezera that the rabbanon made, that a person who eats tame food in the shear of a chatzi suda is now not allowed to eat truma. So let's just do a little bit of a kama mazon shtei sudos. How much is mazon shtei sudos? Amrav tarti rifta achriyasa. It's two loaves of the farmers that they would go out to the field with these loaves at the beginning of the day to have. They would pack up their pekula to have for a while. Ravad barava amar tarti rifta nar papiyasa. It's Yitzur, the loaves that they would eat by Nahar Papa. Amar le Rav Yosef, the Rav Yosef prayed to Rava, Avuchu Kaman Svirle, how does your father hold? So Kramer Svirle, he holds like Kramer that we follow based on the Sudos of a weekday, not a Sudos of Shabbos. Anonami Kramer Svirle, so Rav Yosef, I also hold like Rabbi Yudah that we follow the weekday Sudos, and weekday Sudos are smaller. Di'ik Rabbi Yudah, Kasha Adam Rinchi, Rav Chalavsima Shchiach, that if we were to hold like Rabbi Yehuda, that Sudos Shabbos are smaller, so it would be difficult with the common phrase that people say that there's always more room for sweet foods. So on Shabbos, where you're eating sweeter and more delicious foods, you typically would eat more. So we go against Rabbi Yehuda. We say like Rabbi Meir that on Shabbos you eat more. On a weekday you eat less. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up with Rabbi Yehuda Broka Omer.